This is Karen Elizabeth of KarenElizabeth.com, and today I want to give you some tips for a prosperous spiritual life, the secrets that I needed for spiritual success. I hope you had a sound sleep and sweet dreams last night. In fact, I'm reading a book on the language of dreams, and in many past cultures, dreams were a means of God's communication to man, warning him, guiding him, and confronting him, and teaching him. The book Dream Language by James Gall is encouraging me to write my dreams down. Many years ago, before I renewed my faith in God, I went to a kind of a New Age church looking for truth. I didn't really find it, but I did learn how to write my dreams down, and I filled two journals with dreams over a couple years. I don't know where you are at concerning your faith. Do you believe and follow biblical teachings? Well, depending on your understanding of it, the following words may be difficult, but I'm compelled to encourage you nevertheless. The good news preached in the Bible is not the deluded deception that many churches have been preaching. Many people have left the church because they knew that in their hearts it just wasn't right. Gregory Dickow from Chicago is an awesome teacher of truth, of the Word of God. And he has a wonderful TV show that's on weekly. And he did a study on righteousness, which I recommend. I learned about my Father God's love for me, and I am believing that He will reveal more about Himself and His love and direction to me through my dreams by the Holy Spirit, who lives in me. Jesus said, "When I go to my Father, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all you need to know." I believe very strongly that in these days, mankind will begin to hear from God in a greater way. And the miracles are happening everywhere. I don't know if you've heard about many of them. In fact, there was a woman who trained 500 young children to pray for the sick. They went to a hospital and they prayed for 2 days, and everyone in the place was healed. After a week, the hospital closed. These young children, who believed God would heal these people, had prayed in the name of Jesus. I also have a DVD called The Finger of God, documenting people being healed of sicknesses and diseases, people being raised from the dead, which was hard for me to believe until it was confirmed over and over. People freed from fear that they had carried in their hearts over things, and some whose tormented minds become peaceful, all done in the name of Jesus. Just like when a boss gives an employee the authority to sign his name on documents, this is the kind of authority that we've been given by Jesus. Granted, the boss would make sure that the employee was trustworthy before he'd give him that privilege, and so does Jesus. The more diligent you are to honor God, the greater your authority to do the work that His love will accomplish. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started a good work, and He sees it to its end. He never leaves us or forsakes us about halfway through. "Call on me," He says, "and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know," says the Lord. I've been studying prophetic ministry for a couple of years now, and I believe that we are able to daily love others as prophetic evangelists. I pray for people for healing in the name of Jesus, and they're healed. "Go in my name, with my authority, and I will give you the power to heal and deliver," etc., says the Lord. I have no authority of my own. I have the free will to choose to surrender my body, mind, and spirit to be used by the Lord for His purposes, if I want. He tells us to go about healing the sick and setting the captives free and bringing sight to the blind and bringing hope to the hopeless. God has never forsaken me. It's just speaking kindly to them that's the help. There are so many lonely people who need someone to be an example to them, to love them, to plant a seed of love in them. And when it grows, the fruit of it becomes love, and they in turn will give it to others. Then they'll be able to live and give instead of being trapped in loneliness. It's my honor to love others and to serve them with kindness, to speak life-giving words that transform them and comfort them. This is the good news. God is not like religion has brainwashed so many to believe. The enemy of our souls does reside in and out of the church. He's captured many God-fearing men's minds. And these men, in turn, teach these lies that God will judge them and punish them if they don't obey his word. God's not trying to take things from us. He's trying to get his blessings to us. This is the truth about why Jesus came. The enemy comes to anyone who opens the door to him. He can just as easily be kicked out if Jesus is in the doorway. But this is not a teaching that many churches are sharing, because they are deceived by the fear themselves. As I sit with the Lord daily, the Holy Spirit shares his kindnesses with me. He's so much more personal than many know. In time, though, more people will know him, and many will return to that state of peace and authority that the kingdom of God is really about. It says the kingdom of God is like a man who finds a treasure in a field and hides it. He goes away and he sells everything and he buys the field. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Knowing Christ, we have been given authority and power to push back the darkness. In other words, we can kick the enemy out of our bodies and minds. He doesn't belong in us. Perfect love of God casts out all fear. Believe that Jesus' name is powerful, and your belief will chase fear and torment away. The enemy, darkness, cannot stay where light is. This is true even in the natural world. If you're in a dark room and you turn on a light, the darkness goes away. This is the way God uses simple words to help us understand the spiritual world. It's not as mysterious as men think. The enemy would want us to fear the supernatural world because he knows that when we get an understanding of the truth, he will have no power over us. So his job is to keep us in the dark. But God says, come out of the darkness and into the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. In him is no darkness at all. God wants us to be like Jesus, who overcame darkness with light and overcame evil with good. When we stand before God, Jesus stands between us. He is our attorney who represents us before the perfect holiness of God. Without Jesus, we could never have an opportunity to know God in the fullness of his love. God's love is limitless. I desire to know more of his love until I know him so well. I will be like him. Be ye perfect as I am perfect, says the Lord. We are who we hang around with, and we get what we focus on. I'm really very well received by people that I talk to, because love does overcome many obstacles. It's God's gift to me, and I honor him by sharing it with his children, with anyone who will listen. He's longing for his creation, all of mankind, to come into the full revelation of his love for them. And that's why I know it's a time for miracles to happen more and more. When God, who is love, does anything, it's always very good and natural. There's no fear attached to it. Much of my study and search has been for these secret treasures that the Lord is talking about us finding. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. If you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found by you. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. For many people, this is a difficult understanding, and it does look foolish to the world. To many others who have sought this relationship, primarily through the Word of God, and also through others who've come to this realization, they are those it leads to powerful freedom and peace in this fear-driven age. It is like having heaven on earth. We have the privilege that the world doesn't get. When we have accepted Jesus as our representative before God, we get the Holy Spirit. He comes into us supernaturally and abides, so we can hear him speak to us, this love from God. This is unique to Christians only. The Holy Spirit does give gifts to encourage others for good and profit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:8, to the one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to answer the power to express the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. The gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. And to another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, and abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And this seed in us, working through us, bears fruit. We don't work on these ourselves. In ourselves, we really can't do anything, but we are a conduit for this love, for this power to work through us. This is a gift of God, and we receive this as fruit in us. So when we listen to the Holy Spirit and He teaches us to live, this is how we naturally bear fruit. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, but the fruit of the same Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within us accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. I choose by my will not to take credit for this fruit, not to take credit for creating the fruit. I just have to be honest, truthful, pure, and passionate to seek first this kingdom and live in the powerful love of God. Then these things will be added to me. God has gotten me through many sleepless nights, tormented days, and fearful moments. He's taught me how to live in peace, to think about good things, to push back darkness through praising Him, and then resting in this truth. The best part of all this is that the greater the power of His love to me, revealed to me, the greater the manifestation of that love that I'll be able to give to others. And you will do the same. I love that. This is the spiritual part of my life. And now I want to get really real with you. I read to you from my heart. You know, life is tough. It is. Let's admit it. We have stuff happening all over the place. We have fear, and we've got trouble, and we've got circumstances, and we've got it. You know, we are in this world. And of course, we know you're going to have troubles in the world. If you're a Christian, you understand that some. You've been in church, reading a little bit here and there, and you have an understanding. But if you're not, if you've not really heard these things before, and this is new to you, I want you to be comforted by all the good stuff, but realize that a Christian life is not meant to just be like easy. But what it is meant to do is to make you more powerful. And by that, I mean equipped to do something with your life, to have satisfaction in your life in helping others. I'm doing this. You know, I don't have all the answers, but what I do have is I have the Word, and I have what I know now. And it's way more than I knew years ago. And it was through the troubles and through these difficulties that I'm finding it, because God is wanting us to seek Him because we don't have the answers. And in doing that, somehow by miracle, we finally get a grip. We finally get a hold of this. And now we're empowered to do something with it. So, this is my challenge to you. Do something to impact someone else's life. When you wake up in the morning and you thank God for your day, you thank Him, you praise Him. I have to do it too. I'm speaking to the choir here, okay? Because our circumstances are still there. However, our ability to respond and to bounce back and to not let them affect us, oh my gosh. I mean, I can tell you a situation that just happened right before I made this recording. I had to decide, am I going to let a situation hold me, or am I going to overcome that situation by the power of the love of God that dwells in me? And guess what? I did it. I did not let it get me. In fact, that very circumstance is charging me. Do you feel my energy? Do you feel the power at work in me? It's like God is saying, I have equipped you to overcome, you know? So, with that in mind, I charge you and I challenge you to trust God, to seek Him daily, to just keep getting back up. Do not let your circumstances cause you to stay down. I've been there. I've been down. I don't like it. Do you? I don't like it. So you get back up again. You get back on your horse. And you keep going forward. And we're in this life together. We're in this life to support one another. I want to encourage you to find people who you can get around that are a good support to you, that are going to speak life into you. And know that what I said earlier about God's ways being natural, they will come to you more natural. If you're fighting with the situation, sometimes you need to step back and get into a place of rest and try to get connected again. Because sometimes anxiety means you got off track a little bit. So you get back. And the most important thing that I have found to do is acknowledge God right then. You say, God, I got off here somewhere. I'm anxious and I really want to get back on track. And you know, that very word, I don't know what it does. I don't know how it works, but you give it about 5 minutes and you have changed and your things shifted. And so this is about you continuing to shift forward. And I encourage you to think well as best you can every day. Think about the good things. Honor God with all of your heart. Really be true to your heart. I just pray for you. And I'd like to pray for you all right now. Father God, I love you. I know that you love these people. You love your children. And your plans for them are for peace and not for evil, to give them a future and hope for their future. And I know, and I just receive that for myself right now. I know, God, that no matter what circumstances we are in, tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow is an opportunity to think the best and to believe that God is for us and He is working it all out for us. So I thank you, Daddy, that you are for us. You are for these people that I'm speaking to right now. You are for that woman who is going through a divorce. You are for that man who lost his job. You are for that young person who just is so depressed over their family circumstance. You are for that grandmother who is just so saddened by the loss of her spouse, or that granddad whose wife died tragically somehow. You know, you are for us in times when it's the worst. You are for us when things are good and when things are not so good. And so I ask you, Daddy, to just bless these people. Pour out your love upon them. And I pray that they would receive your love, your love, your love to them. And bless their lives with grace and mercy and kindness and goodness, so much so that their cup overflows with the power of it. I ask you, Holy Spirit, if these people are Christians, that you would well up in them and cause them to overflow with the abundance of the love that you are releasing to them now. In Jesus' name, I thank you. And I thank you for the answers to the prayers that they are praying right now. Amen.